Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All righty then. I want to thank Simply Safe. Visit Simply Safe, simplysafeadam.com.
New site.
New site, simplysafeadam.com. And TrueCar, go to TrueCar.com, download the app. Castrol Edge, YouTube page. All right, so I got some stuff to talk about. I'll be very curious in what your opinion is here in the studio. Mm-hmm. And then also, you folks listening, you send me tweets. Some are quite satisfying, some aren't.
Very disrespectful.
But I don't mind. I'm open to a challenge, and I'm curious, and oftentimes like finding answers to things that sometimes we think, well, there's no possible way. For instance, I said, and one more piece of homework for you guys to do, I said, why on earth would former presidents, and especially Obama, not pardon Jack Johnson?
Right.
A black man. I think the ACLU wanted him, or the NAACP wanted him to do it, and the big swinging black caucus had approached him, and he just didn't do it. And somebody
feels like a fastball right down the middle.
Right. Somebody tweeted me that Jack Johnson had some domestic abuse issues as well, which we can attempt to look up, Max Zapata. But and there were various reasons, but one of the reasons was possibly that he'd had some allegations or charges of domestic abuse, okay. Which in this case you go, oh, okay, so maybe you don't want to pardon that guy for that. We can figure that out. And boxer, domestic abuse.
It adds up.
The profile makes sense.
But I like it when people make you go, oh, well, maybe that's something. And I don't know, but that's a possible answer, and I like it.
Yeah, that was from Obama's team. So it wasn't directly from Obama himself, but they said his attorney general said that's probably the reason why.
The domestic abuse.
Yeah, he had a history of domestic violence.
Okay. And taking women across state line.
To be,
yeah. They didn't like that.
Smack him around.
All right. So now this new thing, and I had a little inside baseball on this one because – Clinton, I feel bad for these guys. Bill Clinton writes a book. I don't know. Is his book out? Is it coming out?
He's promoting it.
He's promoting
it. So it's got to be out now or soon.
It's got to be out. And the problem with all these people, Comey, I feel the same way about Comey. They write a book, mm-hmm. and part of the reason they get these huge advances is because they know they're going to make the rounds, and they know that Bill Clinton is going to be welcome on every late-night talk show mm-hmm. and every Sunday morning political show and everywhere all the time. And they know Comey is, too. The President is Missing, it's called. It's out now. Go through Amazon and bookmark.
Indeed.
And click through. All right. So the they know they're going to do that. Now, I don't think, Roman Polanski could write a book, and he could get a big advance, but part of the stipulation would be you must go out and promote. And when you go out and promote, be prepared. This isn't Johnny Carson, Jack Parr.
Right.
Not have a brandy, light a cigarette. Let's look at Carol Merrill's rack and we'll have a laugh. Right. Oh, no, we're going
deep
to.
Dive.
We got to ask some questions.
Yep.
Everybody's got to do a deep dive.
Yep.
So, and obviously, if you're James Comey and you go on The View, you're going to have an easier time of it than
sure.
if you go on Tucker Carlson. And then you won't go on Tucker Carlson. But even the late night guys are getting into it now. And it's going to be hard to avoid that. So I had heard on a radio program from my hotel room last Tuesday when I was in New York for celebrity, fingers in air quotes, match game, that Bill went on to a CNN show where he probably thought he was going to get an easier time of it, and the guy asked some pretty tough questions with Lewinsky and did you apologize and me too, and he kind of said, I apologize. I mean, I didn't apologize. I apologized. And he said, did you apologize to her? Like, he essentially ruined this girl's life. Did you apologize to her? And he said, I apologize to everyone.
Right.
And he said,
Is she not everyone? Is she not everyone?
She's born. Check.
Thus.
She lives on this planet. Thus. Check.
She got her apology.
She got her apology. It's like, it's always funny. And it's a very Bill Clinton thing and politician thing where you go, did you apologize to her directly? I apologize to my family. Mm-hmm. Yep. I apologize to the American people. I apologize.
Is she not American?
Is she not
one of those two things?
Right. So later on that day, just before Alec Baldwin commented on how tan James Baby Doll Dixon was, and Baby announced all natural, mm-hmm. which means I smoke and play golf all day while you guys toil away in cubicles.
Let the sun do its thing.
While I hammer checks.
Does he go old school with the mirror reflectors?
That while he's golfing?
He only uses the mirror reflector if he drops his lighter and can't get his cigarette lit, and he will use the power of the sun to spark the cigarette. So... that was a funny conversation. Baldwin was laying on a sofa because his back was sore or hurting or whatever, and we just came into his. All his underlings are kind of like, Baldwin's in there, his back's hurt, he's on the sofa, and I'm like, Baby Doll's got to say hi to Baldwin, and we went in his room. Anyway, we're sitting in my dressing room, and Baby Doll said, I was just in San Francisco for the big comedy whatever with Jon Stewart. Then he said, now I'm seeing you, and tonight we head over to Colbert, and we're going to see Bill Clinton on
Austin
Colbert.
Austin Clinton was on, yeah.
Yeah. And I said, because I just heard a little NPR job with him or CNN thing, and the guy was pretty tough with the Lewinsky and the apologies and blah, blah, blah. Oh, we have a 30-seconder of the
CNN
about. Clip. All right, let's listen to that. Yeah.
Well, I asked if you'd ever apologized, and you said you had.
I have.
You've apologized to her.
I apologize to everybody in the world.
You didn't apologize to her.
I have not talked to her.
Do you feel like you owe her an apology?
No, I do. I do not. I have never talked to her. Mm. But I did say publicly on more than one occasion that I was sorry. That's very different.
So gotcha.
So smug.
The apology was public.
Oh, so smug.
He's got a real gotcha look on
that. Yeah, he does.
Gotcha on that one.
A little twinkle in his eye.
It's weird because...
Bill's back to being Bill.
Yep.
You victimized a young girl sexually and you essentially ruined her, I guess. And you're going to, with a smile on your face, act like you just beat somebody on a technicality, which means just means sociopath
to me. I'm
going
to say a lesson not learned.
Yeah. Right. And you know what's so funny? The way we look at her now as opposed to the way we looked at her then, I think it was a TED Talk when she came out and said, I did something that, you know, basically ruined my life, caused a global uproar, and I did something that a million girls have done in this world. I fell in love with my boss.
Yeah.
And when you think of it that way, you're like, oh, sorry.
Is there something you want to say to me?
Oh, no, I'm cool.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm fine, just fine.
Gina, you mean something?
You're great, don't get me wrong.
But your loins aren't.
That's true, they're on fire. Yeah.
Gina, I think you mean she did something in a million to one girl.
Yeah. All right, so I have an interesting... So I was sitting with Baby Doll and Dan Bedansky, his right-hand man, and I was sitting there in my dressing room, and I said, ooh, he just kind of got hammered a little on CNN. I'm sure Colbert will give him a little easier time. And Baby Doll said, no, he does not give people an easy time. He is not going to give them an easy time. And I said, oh, okay. Well, now I'm intrigued to see whether he gave him. And Baby Doll promised that Colbert was gonna hit him pretty good, too. So I will let me take care of Simply Safe, and then I will play you. It's a two-parter. But boy, does he not give him a pass on the second part. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. 2017, Better Business Bureau heard more than 5,000 complaints about alarm companies. Home security is the top 10% of most complained about industries. Sure, why not? My friends at Simply Safe Home Security treat you right. No contracts, nothing hidden. I've known Simply Safe for years. They're good people, A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. 10 years running, over 40,000 five-star reviews online. Simply Safe is what security should be. You're getting the best protection, period. Visit SimplySafeAdam.com. We all use it here. Dawson went from his apartment to his new home, picked up his Simply Safe system, and moved it with him, which you can't say for the hardwired stuff. Have it at home. Have it at the shop. Max Pattis got one with his rehearsal studio now.
Oh,
visit
yeah.
Simply, there's two I's in there. Visit simplysafeadam.com. All right. I'll play the first clip, which is on Colbert and Stephen. Just letting Bill speak. Then I have a very interesting question, conundrum, whatever, to put out there. And again, I'll listen to what you people in the room have to say, and you people can tweet me as well. Go ahead. First clip.
My question is, would you like a do-over on that answer? Do you understand why some people thought that was a tone-deaf response
Absolutely.
To his questions about the Me Too movement and how you might reflect on your behavior 20 years ago and how that reflection may change based on what you've learned through the Me Too movement?
Yeah, when I saw the interview, I thought that because they had to, distill it. And it looked like I was saying I didn't apologize and I had no intention to. And I was mad at me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said in the interview you did apologize. You said
yes,
you apologized in the interview.
I did, and they showed a film clip finally. But what? Here's what I want to say. It wasn't my finest hour, but the important thing is that was a very painful thing that happened 20 years ago, and I apologize to my family, to Monica Lewinsky and her family, to the American people. I meant it then, I meant it now. I've had to live with the consequences every day since. And I still believe this Me Too movement is long overdue, necessary, and should be supported. And we should all... And I'd like to think that we're all getting better as we go along.
All right.
It's a little more about him than it was about him.
It's all
getting
better.
Painful for him.
All right, and here's where Baby Doll's prediction came true. This is where Colbert really hammered him, which was very brave of him and very interesting.
Do we know who's sitting next to him?
The poor cuckolded guy sitting
next
to him?
Yeah, it's the same guy from the other clip.
Co-author?
Co-author James Patterson.
It looks like
Patterson?
Wow. It looks like Martin Mull when he turns to the side from Fernwood Tonight, or possibly other projects. It
looks like Martin Mull after he saw the Covenant of the Ark of the Covenant.
Right. Yeah.
Okay,
James Patterson. But now here's what Colbert has to say.
If I could... I would think some of the reason why people saw that interview and thought that it was tone deaf or whatever word they wanted to use is that you seemed surprised that that question would come up, that there's somehow that this had all been adjudicated in the past and there's no reason to talk about it again, when it seems like the spirit of the Me Too movement is that it doesn't matter how long ago it happened. Examples of men who were not held accountable for their behavior, especially men in power with younger women or people who worked for them, is worthy of being re-adjudicating or adjudicating for the first time, no matter how long ago it happened. And so it seemed tone deaf to me because you seemed offended to be asked about this thing when, in all due respect, your behavior was the most famous example of a powerful man sexually misbehaving in the workplace of my lifetime.
Wow. Intense.
Now,
turn down the air, please.
Here is the question that keeps running through my mind. It's all about abuse of power. And the abuse of power, whether it's Clinton or Weinstein or whatever, is I'm in charge and you're 22. You, by nature, have no power. Right. You're new here. You're an intern or you're an assistant or you're lower level, whatever. And I am a smelly old man, but you will have sex with me because of this power. And I don't think anybody has any issues with the two 23-year-olds getting it on who met in the mail room.
Right.
But when there's this chasm, then the unspoken is that you're not having sex with me or performing these acts on me because you're attracted to me. You're attracted to
Well, it's not because we're in love. It's because there's a hierarchy here that's attractive to you.
And I'm married and have a life and I have a daughter that's older than you and whatever. So fine. And that's the thing we've kind of drilled down on. It's not And some of it crosses into rape and abuse and stuff like that. But just merely the thing that we're really drilling down is the abuse of power. That's the theme of the day.
Right.
And it's the abuse of power as it pertains to immigration and as it pertains to sexual relations and as it pertains to almost everything. It's this guy's in power, these people aren't, and you got to speak your truth to power, and it's this power thing. Okay, that's the theme of the day. And this is, as Colbert said, like probably the most egregious version of it. You don't get much more powerful than president, and then you're an intern. Okay, so there you go. And I think about all the Morgan Freemans and all the peripheral people that are getting sucked up into this thing. And even it's like saying we're declaring war on crime. We're going to clean up these streets, and you start going after the murderers and the gangbangers and the drug runners, and eventually you just start grabbing jaywalkers and throwing them in the paddy wagon. It's like, wait a minute, we're spinning out of control. We're just grabbing everybody, right. And you know, that guy rolled through a four-way stop sign, pull him out of his car, and throw him in the clink. The one guy in a world where Kevin Spacey and George Takei and Al Franken are in the mix with Morgan Freeman and Morgan Spurlock and anyone named Morgan.
Fair Morgan job. Neville.
David Letterman's name never comes up.
Quite the opposite. He's revered.
Uh-huh. Now, he had sex with interns, yep. Underlings, assistants.
At the office.
He didn't grab an ass. He didn't make a comment. He didn't do what Al Franken did, which take a goofy novelty picture while someone was passed out on a transport plane, pretending to put his hand on her boobies, even if he wasn't touching him. He had intercourse at work with people who worked for him that were young and either interns or assistants. So I started thinking to myself, why the pass? The utter pass. The full and utter pass. And you can go, well, it happened a while ago. Not as long ago as Clinton or Cosby. There's no expiration date anymore. We're going way back with Cosby. We're going way back with Clinton. His stuff, Letterman's stuff is 2009. I don't know. Clinton's stuff, mid-90s we have to figure
it
out
was,
the,
yeah,
the date.
Late, 98. Mid to late, yeah.
98. All right, but full decade after that, and when 25 years after Cosby and all the other things. So you go, all right, is it a date thing? Is it an expiration date thing? And you go, No, it's not that. And then you go, well, he is a darling. Like, people love him. People look up to him. Uh-huh. It's weird. They don't love him as a person, but they've all modeled their careers after him with that. But I start thinking about that one. But then, well, there's a lot of darlings getting tossed under the bus now.
America's
Cosby is the
father.
Most beloved, man of the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have two thoughts. You want to hear them that have nothing to do with time?
Right. So let's just establish it's not an expiration date.
Not at all.
And it's not a Hollywood darling thing because we're taking all our darlings. Morgan Freeman's a darling, I would say.
He's the voice of God.
And a champion of the left, and the left is now attacking everyone. Right. So, okay, we can remove politics and darlings, and we can remove times.
And opportunity, because even though he has a new show, he's not the David Letterman of the, network fame anymore. It's not like, well, I'll never get on the show if I talk shit.
I have two thoughts.
Where's the full pass coming from?
Two thoughts.
Go ahead.
And this is off the top of my head. One big one, he came clean about it. And he admitted, he said, I've done things. I don't remember the clip, but it was like, I've had relationships with whoever. And he admitted to it. Whereas Clinton still being cagey about it was for so long. He obstructed justice.
Yes.
And
Weinstein pleaded not guilty.
Cosby still denies it.
Yeah.
He went to court and he still denies it. That's a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is, I presume.
Why did he come clean?
It was going to come out anyway. I don't know. I'm not saying it was an honorable choice. I'm just saying
he had to come clean.
For whatever reason.
He was being blackmailed.
Oh, was he? I didn't know that.
He was the victim.
Interesting.
So there are two elements. A, he came clean, which, well, again.
I should rephrase. He admitted. He at least admitted and owned it.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, he at least said, this is something I did and it was wrong. Whereas the others, to varying degrees, have not done that.
Yeah. Well, Clinton came clean, but it was on a summer dress.
On a cigar.
From the Gap.
So, he did two things. He came clean. He came clean because he had to come clean because he was being blackmailed.
Right.
And in a weird way, and not in a one and one equals two way, but just in a weird way of how we're wired, he was the victim in this situation. So he had sex with underlings, which would mean he should never be able to work again. But one of the underlings' boyfriends found the diary and tried to blackmail him. Thus, he came clean about it. Thus, he came clean and he was a victim of crime.
Now, the other one, and this is a big difference between Weinstein, Cosby, and Letterman. I'm imagining, if not 100%, they were fairly consensual. Weinstein and Cosby are rapists. They victimized and raped women.
Yeah, I mean, but
there's no but. Letterman, at least to a degree, was an affair, a consensual affair.
I agree.
That's a big, big difference.
Well, hold on. There is a difference, obviously, between rape and consensual. A huge, huge gap there. But not, it doesn't cover the abuse of power.
You're right.
And it doesn't cover the abuse of power at the workplace. And also, Clinton, she was in love with him. Like that, Clinton's whole thing was consensual.
I think that's where factor number one comes in.
So
he at least said, this is something I did, it was wrong, and I'm sorry.
And he's a victim of crime.
Well, and maybe that's the other reason people felt sorry for him.
But in terms of luck, skating past this one in a world where everyone is being swept
he
up.
He flew through the eye of the storm.
Yes, and destroyed and having their career sound patchy. The fact that his name doesn't pop up when we're talking about the Pantheon and we start digging deep into whatever Al Franken made. There's guys we don't even know what
Kevin Spacey can't get work.
Right.
He was replaced after a movie was already shot.
Right.
Oscar-nominated movie. He was out.
And he is, Letterman's sailing right along. And it's true. Come out. Get in front of it. Come out. Even though he came out with it only because of the blackmail, he was forced, but he still did.
And thus, we look at it
and he was victimized by the blackmail, and we've all moved on.
Yeah, and history won't remember him that way.
That's right. All right.
Wow. I'd forgotten about the blackmail part. But see, that's how history
remembers him. Right, but if you think about it, why would he come out with it? And that's why.
He had to.
Right. True car. Let me tell you about that. MSRP. You might not know what it stands for, but do you know what it means? You know what it stands for? Do you know what it means? Same goes for invoice. List price and dealer price. Confusing, right? Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay. Includes fees and accessories before you get to the dealership. You know the True Car price is great because the True Car shows you what other people paid for the exact same car that you want. You lock in your price. You go to your certified dealer. They set their True Price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy new or used, you want to visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states, but I bet you don't live in one of those states, and you do what our own Chris Maxipata did.
I found a car with my phone.
With his phone.
With my phone.
With 200 miles on it, practically new, but he got it for a used price at True Car. All right, quick break. We come back with the news and Gina Grad. Yeah.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, reports from several news outlets say that TV host, author, celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain has been found dead in his hotel in France while filming an episode of CNN's Parts Unknown. Bourdain, who was 61, was found unresponsive in his room Friday morning by a close friend and fellow celebrity chef Eric Rippert. Bourdain's show, Parts Unknown, is currently airing its 11th season. He was working on an upcoming episode in France, and authorities in France confirmed his death at a luxury hotel, adding no foul play was suspected. His death comes days, by the way, after the suicide of another much-loved celebrity, 55-year-old fashion designer Kate Spade in New York, and from what we know right now, possibly both from hangings.
Yeah.
And there, when it comes to Kate Spade,
I gotta say this: I can't get a mummy sleeping bag back into the sack that it comes in.
Yeah.
You know, you get that thin vinyl sack when you buy it at the sporting goods.
Throw it away.
I throw it away. Yeah. I literally, I end up on my back using my feet It takes 4 hours. I could never hang myself.
Yeah, it seems difficult. And with Kate Spade, her sister went on record saying that Kate was, you know, had a couple of mental issues and was kind of obsessed with Robin Williams' death and how he died. And that could have been a correlation of her hanging. And now they're saying this is possibly what happened to Anthony Bourdain. And I was listening to KFI on the way in, and they played a clip of him. I think this was him in Argentina for Parts Unknown. And he was going on about their healthcare system and their mental healthcare system and how great it is. And apparently, I hope I'm getting this right. I tried to grab the clip as quick as I could. Apparently, he, in one of the episodes, was at a therapist, I believe, in Argentina. And this is one of the things he said.
What brought me here? Well, things have been happening. Like, I will find myself in an airport, for instance, and I'll order an airport hamburger. It's an insignificant thing. It's a small thing. It's a hamburger.
Yeah.
But it's not a good one. Suddenly, I look at the hamburger, and I find myself in a spiral of depression that can last for days.
So just kind of this
feel that way
overwhelming
at Dodger Stadium when I order a hot dog.
You get the Dodgers.
You have the highest hopes.
Thank you for filming your dashboard, Gina Grad, and being
very
alert. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Sure. We're at the end of that clip. Oh, thank you, Chris.
I was in the parking lot.
You know, I don't
going 35.
I don't know anything, but I do know this, and I can. I Fondelier's despondent because he's a major fan of Bourdain, and he had a lot of fans. I noticed something about him, which is I didn't watch a show with any regularity. I recognize it was a good show, just wasn't a show I watch. I watch car shows, less food shows, but I always appreciated him. I appreciate him from an execution standpoint, but I also appreciated him with, hey, this guy's doing what he wants to do. He's figured out a way. I respect anyone who goes, here's what I like to do. I like travel. I like food. Mm-hmm. I like meeting people. I like going to places. I figured out a way to get paid to do it.
And authentically as himself, brash, prickly, you know, not everyone's best friend. And
that's who he was. The only shot you're going to have at it these days is being authentic, being the sort of good, you know, being the goodwill ambassador. Mm-hmm. And the, what's his name from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? Robin Leach. It's not going to work anymore. Hey, we've been to Morgan Fairchild's villa. It's wonderful. You know, like no one wants that anymore. But I would tune in from time to time. And I noticed he was getting some more tattoos.
Yeah.
I'd be curious about this. And I have thoughts about people who at 50... At age 50, don't really have any tattoos, and then at age 55 are getting tattooed. I have thoughts about, there's thoughts about it's inflicting pain, and there's thoughts about what's going on internally that we're trying to grab something here that's missing that somehow, and I'm not an expert on the guy, but I don't know if he had tats at 40. But he had by 61, he had tats.
Yeah.
And it kind of, I feel the same way with sort of like aggressive piercings and tats and stuff like that. When at age, you know, well in your life, I think it's safe to say that Brian is going to sail through his life without tattoos. You're
about to be surprised.
So he got his first tattoo after he wrote Kitchen Confidential, in the year 2000. So, and then now he says he's been getting tattoos.
He was
instead
in,
of.
Mid-40s at point.
Sorry, he was in his early 40s or something at that point, right?
Right.
But, I mean, Brian, you're 40.
I'm turning 40 in September.
All right, turning 40. I don't think you're getting a tattoo. I don't think I'm getting a tattoo.
No.
It's kind of
no plans currently.
Neither one of us is in the Merchant Marines, and we have kids now, and kind of the window shut and painted closed for that.
Yeah, but, he's been getting a bunch of tattoos since, instead of photos and souvenirs, he found that was a much better way of capturing everything.
Right.
And he said, his quote is, "Look, I'm 61 years old. I'm well aware a tattoo is not going to improve me in some measurable way. It's not going to make me younger. It's not going to make me hipper. It's not going to make me more relevant. It's more I see my body as an old car. It's covered with dents. It's not getting any newer. The wheels are going to start falling off soon. Another dent won't matter. In the end, I largely get them done to please myself."
So it's already sounding like negative thoughts about your, a little fatalistic. So my whatever, a cheap seats observation, but I'm always right, was I just would periodically check in with this guy and go, he's got another tattoo, and now he's 51, and oh, now he's 57, he has another tattoo. And I remember just thinking, whatever that means mentally, I don't like it.
You can we got to keep an eye on Guy Fieri, because he we can clock his diners, drive-ins, and dives for the years by what year it is, by how many tattoos he has on his arm. Like, mm. Oh, there's more tattoos. Okay.
Yeah, although I think that guy loves himself way too much.
I was
going to
say, he's
going
to never take himself out.
All right, so that was my only thing of like, I it doesn't seem like the move of a happy guy.
Right.
And he's describing his body as an old dented car where the wheels are going to fall off. And okay.
It sounds like he's like constantly unsatisfied.
And by the way, just to that end, I have a dear friend, Courtney, who worked on, you know, she does food shows. She worked on something with him and just wrote a whole thing today with a picture of him getting tattooed on the show. Say he wanted, one of the other guys wanted to get a spoon tattoo. And he goes, yeah, I'll get it too. And they wanted to show him, is this okay? We're about to tattoo you on live TV. It's fine. I don't care. Just do it. So he didn't seem particularly, you know, precious about what was being tattooed. He just wanted to go through it. Yeah.
It's a little self-mutilation.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of
feel something.
And it's some pain, and it's a little version of cutting on yourself, aversion, and it's an element of I can do things to myself that cause pain or mutilation or what have you. All right, sad.
Well, you know, we spoke quickly earlier in the show about the impulse aisle, the candies, the magazines. Well, interesting. Some retailers in the U.S. have established candy-free checkout lanes, but the U.K. taking it a step further. They don't
want. You guys, tell me. Tell me. And really think about it.
All right.
I was at the market where I saw Melania Trump's.
In Touch.
In Touch magazine. She finally made the cover of a magazine. Why won't you leave, bitch? She finally made the cover. So.
Get out, bitch!
So, and in front of me was an employee for the Gelson's supermarket. And she was morbidly obese. And she was young. And she. Oh. I got burned badly.
Oh, no.
I went to Gelson's and I was like, do we have avocados? Because ever since Vinnie Tortorich said stop eating bananas and start eating avocados, all I do is eat avocados.
Me too.
And I called and I thought, I don't know if I have avocados at home or not. I don't know. And it was just like Sunday at like 4 p.m. Got burned badly. Burned. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call Lynette. And I'm going to find out whether we have avocados or not, because I don't want them to go bad and
quickly.
Get mushy and whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm traveling every weekend and blah, blah, blah. Here's a bad burn. I call Lynette. It was like 4 p.m. on a Sunday. And she picks up the phone and she's like, hello. And I'm like, hello. And she's like, oh, I'm sleeping. I'm taking a nap. And I'm like, oh, sorry for waking you up. But I'm at the Gelson's. And I want to know if we have avocados or not. And she goes, I don't know. I'm sleeping, but pick up some ribs, and hangs up.
Nice.
And I'm like, now I'm in the deli line.
Oh, you got me.
I got no answer to my avocados, but I do go to a super crowded deli line now and pull the. Now I'm pulling the thing, and people are walking in front of me and ordering 4 pounds
That's
of coleslaw. And I'm like, God damn it.
She got you good.
Then after waiting in the deli line for 20 minutes, because people do so much window shopping.
Oh,
they go,
yeah.
They're like pointing, no.
Is that not Ferris that,
Can I have a sample?
Yeah, let me try that. After that, I get to the front and it's like, I want the beef ribs, which I don't enjoy, but my wife has tasked me to get. And they're like, oh, we're out of those.
Of course.
Why did I clone that? Why did I pick up the phone? You can't tell someone who's asleep in bed to get up and go to the next room and go on an avocado recon
mission.
Run.
But if you're already at the grocery store, you might as well pick up some ribs.
I bought 3 spare ribs because I wasn't sure.
Good.
And that was it. But it still took an extra 20. It was the worst phone call I ever made. Now you tell me.
What animal chooses the beef ribs over the spare ribs?
That's a good question.
I'm in line. It's another story. I'm in line, and there's somebody who works there, and she's 25, and she is morbidly obese. And I see all these young women who are just morbidly obese, not heavy set, morbidly obese. And I feel horrible for them because in a world where we never stop talking about, well, as a lesbian and as a mother, mm-hmm. I know what it's like. You're fat. Your life is ruined. Mm-hmm. You're discriminated every turn, everywhere, everyone, right. Everywhere you go.
Your fair
every
games.
Facet of yep. your life, including your health, it's all ruined. It's all compromised. And these are young people. So she had quietly grabbed a couple, like, got the triple pack of the peanut butter cups, and she was clearly and the person behind the counter was sort of in on the grift, was putting them in a paper bag so not to be shamed, but had the fresh pressed orange juice, the 16-ounce fresh pressed, and that was sitting out in the open. So what she was basically saying is scurry away the Snickers bars and the peanut butter cups.
But look at this.
Look at me. Yeah, look at me. I'm eating healthy. And she was just in front of me, and she knew the person behind the counter, and they were settling up, and they were saying, you know, you're going to be back to work on Friday or whatever. And I was dying to kind of tap her on the shoulder and say, I know you're struggling, and I know you think this is – toward the light, this orange juice is toward the light. You're gonna eat the Snicker bars in a shame circle, but this you'll gleefully do in public because you think this is toward. This is not that orange juice is the same as the Snicker bar. Don't do it.
Worse.
You don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word.
Been a B2 moment.
Yeah.
I wanted to just go. Don't do that. No. Don't do the orange juice.
Yeah.
You think it's good, so everyone thinks it's good. What would you have done?
Would I have said something?
No, 100% the same thing you did. I would have tortured myself over like, I would love to help this girl, but that's just not.
You know
that's
what?
Not
aren't you sort right. of a bad person for letting this morbidly obese person continuously consume this and not think twice about it? As a matter of fact, thinking this is the one part of my diet I don't need to work on.
Right. You know what though? I wonder as a woman if I would be able to get away with that. Easier than you would,
you would
even
be.
Though even though you, you might be. Have more experience and you know whatever, even if Dr. Drew was saying they're going, I am a doctor, if I was like, hey girl, I feel you, and guess what,
yes,
yeah,
yes,
that's a tough one.
All right, ponder it. Yeah. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge collaborated with Electronic Arts to present adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer, inspired by the need for speed video games. Find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior, and you just go to Castrol Edge. You go to their YouTube page. You check out Castrol USA YouTube page, and check out a really compelling video. I've seen it a few times. It's great. Castrol USA YouTube page. All right, let's do one more.
All right, well, I'll just tag that other story with the fact that in Britain, they are doing away with candy at the checkout altogether. It's not allowed there. It's an impulse thing, and then it's not happening.
Well, I will say this. They do get your ass, and if you have kids,
yep.
good luck getting through that narrow yep. corridor without picking up a handful of something. It's always there.
It's eye level for
you
the kids.
You go into that market with the best of intentions, and you're buying the organic this yep. and the grass-fed that, and you're checking the carb count on this, and then
they have peanut butter M&Ms?
Then you get pushed right on through that turnstile, and all we'll do is we'll poison your brain with In Touch magazine, yep. and we'll poison your body with the M&Ms.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of poison, according to a new survey, a majority of Americans, 55%, prefer to drink at home than to go out and drink. Yeah. And surprisingly, a lot of millennials would rather do drinks under their own roofs. 28% of young adults aged 24 to 31 say they would rather drink at home because it takes too much effort to go out.
Got to believe it's the DUI and the Uber yeah. and the money and
money.
All that kind of stuff that has really caused a lot of this. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Adam Carolla's show is brought to you by Simply Safe. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. You got to check it out. Go today to simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. Shows all over the place. We got Thousand Oaks Borderline. We've been there a few times. July 27th. We got Pasadena Ice House. That's the 29th. August 29th. And August is booked. Dr. Drew's coming up on stage
nice.
There. So have fun with that. And then Seattle, Moore Theater, September 13th. You go to Chassis and get up. And it's all there. Just go to Adam Carolla. podcast1.com. And while you're on your computer, check out the Podcast One survey. Go to podcast1.com. Click the survey banner and let them know what you think. It's important to them. And tomorrow, Derek Smalls, bassist from Spinal Tap, in full character in here tomorrow. So, until next time, I'm Carolla, Dennis Miller, and Gina Gradenbaugh-Bynes saying mahalo.
I did something that a million girls have done in this world. I fell in love with my boss.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give him a thumbs up on Facebook. And leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangree events, books, movies, and more. Visit AdamCarolla.com.